We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, Redemption Church. How are you today? I hope that you're doing good right where you are. I'm sure missing being in the same room with you. I really am missing that. I hope you don't have coronavirus quarantine blues. I hope that you're doing well. We're praying for you. I hope you're defeating any depression or any worry, any of the anxiety, that you're turning it into praise, you're turning it into worship. You are operating in faith. That's my prayer for you. I'm praying for you every single day. For you that are tuning in for the first time, welcome. My name is Chris Fluitt. I am so blessed to be the pastor of Redemption Church right here in Plano, Texas. Everyone, please let us know if you have any prayer requests, if you have any needs, or even praise reports. We want to hear all of it. We love to hear from you. Contact us at 469-467-8111. info@redemption-church.com is an email. And also check us out at facebook.com/myredemption. Please stay in touch with us. We want to hear you. And in fact, I want you to tell me something that you can't wait to do after we move past this corona quarantine. Where is something you want to do, somewhere you want to go, someone you want to go hang out with? Go ahead and write it there in the comments wherever you are. We're in the fourth week of our sermon series. I hope you remember what it is. If you don't remember what it is, I've got the notes right here. I can preach week 1 through 3 again. No, it is Circle Up. Pastor's got jokes. Circle Up is the name of our series. We need community. Yes, we do. We need family. You bet. We need friendship. We need intimate relationships. Who says? God says. His word says. And if you don't even believe in the word of God, there's something inside your heart that goes, yeah, that's true. That's true. It's absolutely true. We need each other, and we're realizing it more than ever. Last week, we taught you how to draw a circle. And I wasn't great at it, but I gave you a concept. You can draw a circle by attaching your circle to a central anchor. And then tethering from that central anchor, you can draw a perfect circle. We told you that Jesus, of course, is the best anchor to draw your circle. Are you tethered to Jesus? Is he at the center of your circle? You can go check that out if you missed that sermon or you want to revisit it. We've got it most places, our website. We've got it on the podcast. Go check it out and make sure you like, subscribe, all that wonderful social media goodness. Today I want to talk to you about a surrounding circle. Say those words with me, a surrounding circle. I can imagine that some people really resist a message of community. Here's why. Perhaps you're injured by a community. That happens. Yep, absolutely. Perhaps someone betrayed your trust. You trusted that community. They betrayed that trust, and then they talked about you, and then it's like the whole circle turned against you. So if that's true, you might not like this teaching on community. You might hold it back low. It's for other people, but no, I've tried that, Pastor. No, none of that. It could be that you think community is a lot of work. Like, sure, I would do community, but it's a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of work trying to keep people happy. Like, maybe that's your idea of community. We just go around and we try to make people happy, and we aren't succeeding if they aren't happy. And Pastor, have you looked at the world? They're not a lot of shiny, happy people holding hands. If you got that reference, you're extra cool. But maybe you think community is about a lot of work. And maybe it's a lot of work, but you don't receive the benefit. So why should I do it? Why should I do it? Well, I want to talk to you today because community circles require work on your part. Absolutely true. But when done correctly, they bring blessing. When done correctly, they bring strength. When done correctly, they bring protection. And when done correctly, they actually draw you closer to God. All right, so I want to encourage you in those ways. I want you to think real quick about football. Before they call a play, the team circles up, and they call that circle a huddle. They huddle up, all right? The huddle is a circle. The huddle is a real authentic meeting that happens right there on the football field. Plans are formed in that circle. Because of the huddle, the players walk to the line of scrimmage in confidence. Inside that huddle, actually people talk about problems. They actually say, you know what? That left end is killing me. Can we do something about that? Can anybody help me? He's killing me. I'm having trouble getting open. And would they talk about it? They actually admit they're having trouble, or maybe they aren't 100%, and it happens inside that huddle. Because it happens inside that huddle, they form a plan, and then they walk with confidence to that line. And I want you to get this picture, because when they walk to that line in confidence, they left all the worry back there. They discussed it in the circle, and now they walk up like world beaters. And now that defense is like, oh my gosh, they aren't even tired. My goodness. I beat that guy last time, and now he looks more determined than ever to beat me. That's what happens inside a huddle. Circles are good, right? Have you ever heard this term? Circle the wagons. You know where that comes from? That comes from pioneers. They would travel in wagon trains. And pioneers, when they needed protection, they would make their wagon train form a circle. Very good. And it offered protection during uncertain times. Weak people weren't thrown out of the circle. Weak people weren't judged. They were put in the middle of the circle. Women and children went into the middle of the circle, and then warriors went to the outstretches of that circle, that wagon train, that circle of the wagons, and they fought off the enemy. A surrounding circle is beneficial. You can form plans there. You can be stronger there. There's actually a secret place in that circle where the enemy doesn't see your struggle. And it's so powerful to come from that circle and be a world changing, a world beater. And it's so good to find protection inside that circle. I want to give you some scriptures about a surrounding circle benefit. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel. You think your plans fail because of a lack of talent. That's not true. You think your plans fail because you just don't have enough money. No, plans fail, according to the Bible, because you have a lack of a circle. You have a lack of a counsel. But with many advisors comes success. All right, Psalm 133 and 1, a song of ascents of David. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's so good inside the circle when we can just get along. The church ought to be the one place on the face of the planet where people actually get along. People aren't going to get along in Washington, D.C. They might not even get along in your own house. But in the church of Jesus Christ, Jesus is King, and we ought to all get along. How good and pleasant it is. Psalm 133 and 3. It is as the dew of Hermon. We're falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. There is everlasting life in this circle, and there is blessing in this circle. 1 John chapter 1 and 7, but if we walk in the light, together we are walking in the light, as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, does what? It purifies us from all sin. Does that sound like benefit? Oh, you bet it is. 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 through 10. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. Do you understand that? That love covers sin. The love of Jesus covers sin. But have you ever had a brother or sister? Have you ever had a spouse? Have you ever had a child love you enough to cover up your sin, to cover it and not judge you for it? It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift and you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I'm telling you that there is a benefit in a surrounded circle. We need each other. We need to circle up. We need to surround each other. Don't let people go through their struggle alone. Surround them, protect them, embrace them. Let them be weak at times. Let them be strong at times. Don't criticize them. Bring them encouragement. Church, we need to be a surrounding circle. Redemption Church, I'm talking to you. We need to be a surrounding circle. Encircle your family. Encircle your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your community, the world. Encircle the outcast. Encircle the widow and the orphan. Encircle the sick. Encircle those that are far, and encircle those that are near. It is good to be surrounded with love and care. If you agree with that, go ahead and push that like button. Say amen. It is good to be surrounded with love and care, but there are times of quarantine and isolation. It is a strange thing to hear my four-year-old say the words quarantine. My four-year-old saying the words social distancing. And when he came out with coronavirus, that just floored us. It's a strange world that we're living in that a four-year-old knows these kind of terms. We are living in a time where we are to stay at home, avoid contact with people, do not gather in groups beyond 10 people, stay more than 6 feet away. That's what we're living with. Corona has reminded us that there are times where you feel alone. You think stuff like this: does anyone really care? Why hasn't anyone called to check on me? I'm all by myself. I sure need someone. We think these things. And we're in a time where we are limited. So how can we really be there for our friends during this time? How can we really form a surrounding circle when we aren't even allowed together in the same room? What am I going to do? I can't go to work, so that means I can't get paid. Somebody's thinking that. I can't go to church. I can't pray. I can't hear the choir. I can't experience the beauty of the sanctuary. Somebody's thinking that today. I can't lean on my brother. If you lean on your brother, that's how you spread this thing, right? Somebody is thinking these things. I need a surrounding circle, but there are times in my life where I look around and no one is there. And I hope you know what I'm talking about. I hope you're honest enough to go, no, that's a thing. There are times where I need a surrounding circle, but I look around and it's kind of empty. I feel quarantined and I feel isolated. I want to talk to you about David, King David, in Philistia. Philistia is a country. It's the country of the Philistines. Were they friends of Israel or enemies of Israel? They were bad enemies, all right? All right, so real quick, I'm going to give you a Bible story context. David, at a young age, had been chosen by God to be the king of Israel. David later kills a giant named Goliath. Goliath is from the enemy nation of Philistia. David, the giant killer and chosen of God, is hated by the king, whose name is Saul, who at the time sat on the throne of Israel. King Saul, in anger and jealousy, chases David completely out of Israel. He is completely chased out of his homeland, the place he's supposed to be king according to God. David hides from Saul. Where does he hide from Saul? In what countryside would he hide from Saul? David goes to the land of Philistia. He goes to the town of Gath. You know whose hometown Gath was? Goliath of Gath. The giant Goliath's hometown. He is so hated in his own hometown of Israel, in his nation of Israel, that he runs to his enemy's country. He goes to the house, the town of his greatest enemy moment, Goliath. And there he asks his enemies if he can stay in that place. What a weird moment in David's life. David lived among his enemies. David was quarantined. David was isolated. David was rejected. David was an outcast. David was kicked out of town. So was David still a man of God? Yes. I'm going to say that again, but let's be a little louder. Was David still a man of God? Yes, he was. You go ahead and help me with it. Were the promises of God still true? Yes. Did God still have a purpose for David? Yes. Was David still a man after God's own heart? Yes. A million times, yes. There was a lonely and difficult season for David. But his season had a reason. If you're in the room with somebody, go ahead and say it. Your season has a reason. If you're all by yourself, you just say, my season has a reason. I need to tell somebody today that your season has a reason. Your difficult circumstance is not what defines you. The promises of God That's what defines you. The promises of God are true. They are yes and amen. As soon as he makes a promise, it's as good as done. God's plan for you is not dictated by the storms of life. Your season is not what defines you. Your season simply has a reason for being in your story. Lord, reveal to us today the reason for the season we're going to. You listen to me, Redemption Church. I believe that what we're going through right now, that God has a reason for it inside the heartbeat of his church. He has a reason for it inside of Redemption Church. He has a reason inside it, inside this pastor's heart for this season. He has a reason inside your family for this season. Ask God today, what is the reason for this season? So David is in this crazy season in Philistia. He has part of his family with him, and he has some men with him. They were fighting dudes. And they are living in quarantine and isolation in a small area called Ziklag. Great name for a boy or a girl. Ziklag Fluit would make a no. My wife is here. She says, no, sir. No, sir. She's going to put me in quarantine if we dare name anything Ziklag. Ziklag was the name of this area where David is staying. And then things get worse. Things can actually get worse than living in a place called Ziklag. While David and his men were away, the Amalekites, now, were Amalekites friends or foes? What do you think? Friends? Foes. Very good. They were bad guys. The Amalekites attacked that area, including Ziklag. We'll read about it in 1 Samuel 30 and 1. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided Negev and Ziklag and had attacked Ziklag and burned it, verse 2, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. Verse 3, when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. That's pretty heavy, right? How did they respond? Verse 4, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Have you ever been in that place where you cried so much that you were so exhausted from crying, you couldn't even cry any longer? Verse 6, David was greatly distressed. Oh, yeah, sure he was. Why was he distressed? Well, everything we read. No, more. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking about stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. So get this, we're already in a difficult season. We were isolated and quarantined outside of Israel. We were living with our enemies, but now it's actually worse. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe the last few weeks have felt like that. Something bad happens, it's like, oh man, that's terrible. But it doesn't stop there. Another bad things happen. It's crazy. It's like, oh man, we're running out of money. Of course I've got laid off. Of course I can't see my family that's in a nursing home. Of course these things are happening. What else is happening? If this season wasn't bad enough, there is something else coming at us. Can you relate to that? That's what David was facing. David had no one. His wife's gone. His children are gone. And he's been rejected by his family, and now the men that fought by his side have rejected him so bad, they are thinking about killing him. Can you say quarantine and isolation? You may feel alone right now. You may feel like no one cares. You may feel betrayed. You may feel lonely. You may feel cut off. But I want David to teach you what to do next. Look what David does very next. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. This ends that verse. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It says that his pastor encouraged him. Is that what it says? No. It says that somebody came and gave him a song, gave him a prophetic word and encouraged him. No. It said he went to a Barnes & Noble and picked up a good self-help book and the words in it were really good. It says that somebody bought a Starbucks going through the line and it, no. Who encouraged him? He encouraged himself. David encouraged himself in the middle of his quarantine, in the middle of his isolation, when his family was gone, when he could presume that his family he would never see again. At best, I might find their dead bodies during this time when his men wanted to kill him. When he was all alone, David remembered this simple fact that God is a surrounding circle. When no one is there, God is still there. When no one cares, God still cares. When everyone turns against you, God is still for you. And he says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, because God is a surrounding circle. You hold tight. Let the word of God encourage you. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. When Jacob was lost in the desert, Deuteronomy 32:10 says this, he found him, Jacob, in a desert land and in a howling waste of a wilderness, and God encircled him. You look at that. It says that he, the Lord God, encircled a lost man named Jacob, and he cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eyes, the pupil of his eye. Psalm 139:5 says this, you have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Because God has encircled me, nothing before me, nothing behind me can even touch me. Psalm 32:7, God, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Psalm 125:2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Zechariah 2:5, for I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The name of Jesus encircles me. The name of Jesus is a tower of righteousness that I can run into and find safety. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Come on, somebody. The Lord will encircle you. Psalm 91 says this, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, verse 2, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence, God? If I go to the heavens, you're already there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are already there. Even the darkness won't be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God knows what's going on, and he is encircling you. And you can't get away from his spirit. Even in the darkness, he sees clearly. Darkness is light to him. He has never been clueless. He has never seen which way to go. That's us. But God, darkness is light to you. Maybe you know this, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell right in the middle of the circle. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you clap your hands for the word of God? Can you smash that love button? My goodness, our God is a surrounding circle, and David encouraged himself in God when he was all alone. Wherever you are, I pray that the encouragement of the Lord would strengthen you. I pray if you are all alone, maybe this is the time for you to get a hold of God and encourage yourself in the Lord. David stood in the middle of a burnt to the ground Ziklag, and he found encouragement in God. He didn't find encouragement in God after God brought his children and wife back. He didn't find encouragement in God after God fixed everything. No, even in the middle of the struggle, you can find the encouragement. You need to speak to your problems, speak to your fears, and be encouraged in God and say, God is bigger than all of this, and God can be found in all of this. God, encircle me. Surround me in your circle, God. Here is what happened next. What happens next, really important. Listen, 1 Samuel 30 and 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, he says, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him. Can you say those words with me? Bring me the ephod. Go ahead, say it. Bring me the ephod. The ephod is the clothing of who? Of a priest. A priest would wear an ephod. And without digging into all the spiritual significance of the ephod, we could study that for days. Let me just break it down to you really quick. When David asked for the ephod, he was asking to go into God's presence, because nobody without an ephod goes into God's presence. He was asking to go and ask God what he should do next. The ephod represents worship, and it represents prayer. And a child of God should be clothed in worship. We should be clothed in prayer, and we should be surrounded by the presence of the Lord. The ephod represents the presence of God surrounding you. 1 Samuel verse 30 and 8 says this, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? And God says, pursue them. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Can I tell you something? It's really important when you're worried, when you're freaking out, when you're all alone, when everybody's about to kill you, when you're angry, when you're fearful, when you're scared, when you don't know what to do, you should put on an ephod. You should put on some prayer, and you should put on some worship, and you should get in the middle of the presence of God and say, God, what now? What would you have me do? Can I do this? Should I do this? Which way should I go? God, I give you permission to tell me no, and I give you permission to tell me yes. Somebody say, bring me an ephod. God is a surrounding circle. David surrounded himself in God's presence, and God told him what to do and how to be successful. In a few moments, we're going to be talking to God. You must surround yourself in God, right where you are, right in your house, wherever you are. You could be in the park listening to this thing. I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, God's presence can be there. Why don't you just encircle yourself in his presence? You need to ask God what to do. You need to ask God how to be successful. So David leaves Ziklag and goes after the Amalekites to rescue his family. But it wasn't going to be easy to find these people. Guess what? Do you think the Amalekites wanted David to find him? No. No. And people that don't want to be found, they know how to not be found. These were the people that had stolen his family, plundered his wealth, and burned down his house. These people did not want to be found. So guess what happens? Watch what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and 11. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat. Verse 13, David asked him, who do you belong to? Where do you come from? The Egyptian said, I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. I want you to picture this out. They're out in the middle of a desert wilderness. and they see this guy that's all alone. He's been sick. He's been left. He's hungry and he's thirsty. And he is going to die. When David, in his isolation, circled up with God, God led David to someone else who was isolated, who was all alone. This slave had become sick and was left to die, and God brought David right to him. You who are feeling isolated, I want to tell you, God wants to encircle you with his love, with his strength and care, but that's not all. He wants to lead you to others who are isolated. He wants to lead you to others who have no hope. Some of you, God has delivered you from an addiction. God wants to do more than deliver you from addiction. He wants to bring you to other people who are experiencing an addiction, and he wants to help you set them free. You have been healed emotionally by something. God wants to do more than just make you feel better. He wants to take you to someone else who's hurting, someone else who's all alone, and he wants you to bring them healing. 1 Samuel 30, verse 14. The Egyptian says this: "We raided the Negev of the Kerethites, some territory belonging to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb. Oh yeah, and we burned Ziklag." That's what he says. I want you to get this. God brought David to this man to help him. And then David finds out that the person God brought him to would be a help to him. That this Egyptian had information that David needed. When you surround yourself in God, every meeting can be a God-ordained moment. David did not know where to find these Amalekites, but he finds somebody who needed help, and then that guy brings him right to those Amalekites. The Egyptian leads David to the raiders, verse 17 of 1 Samuel 30. David fought those Amalekites from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. There were a lot of these dudes. This was quite the war, right? Verse 18, David recovered everything. David recovered everything. I want you to say those words. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his wives. Nothing was missing. Young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else that had been taken, David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." I want you to get this picture. What started in disaster, what started in quarantine and isolation, what started in an attack and a betrayal, ended in blessing. Do you see this? I want to remind you, your season has a reason. In this season, David found he could encourage himself in the Lord. Would it have happened without this season? I'm not so sure it would have. In this season, David put on an ephod of prayer and praise. Why did he put it on? Because of the season. In this season, David reached beyond himself and helped an Egyptian in need. In this season, David recovered everything that had been taken. But not just that. He receives more than what had been taken. You see, they had robbed a lot of other places. They had stolen a lot of other livestock. They have taken a lot of other things. David not only got back everything that had been taken, he didn't lose one thing, but he actually gained. He actually plundered. He actually was blessed. What does this? I'm telling you, it's being surrounded in the circle of God. It's being in the presence of God. It is being a person of prayer and a person of worship and a person that is close to the Lord. I want to speak right to you. You are not a loser in this season. Because of this season, you will actually win. Because of this season, you will actually gain if you encircle yourself in the Lord. If God is your surrounding circle, then you will actually plunder the enemy during this time. Is your God a surrounding circle? Wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now, the most important thing right now is His presence. The most important thing right now is that you would worship Him, that you would talk to Him. And we're going to do that right now all over this place. Wherever you are listening, a podcast, listening to live stream, or in the room, we are going to talk to the Lord. Why don't we come forward? Let's talk to God. Why don't you make your living room, wherever you are, make it a prayer room. Make it an altar where we talk to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, and during this time of isolation, during this time of quarantine, God, let us realize that your presence is still there. Lord, encircle us, God. Lord, we need to be surrounded by your presence, God. Lord, would you please show us what to do? Which way should we go? What could we do about our problem? Would you speak to us, God? Help us to put on an ephod of prayer where we inquire of the Lord and we find out what we're supposed to do. Lord, in Jesus' name, minister to every person. Lord, I come against fear. I come against sickness. I come against worry. I come against emotional problems. I come against relationships that are distressed in Jesus' name. And I declare that your presence can encircle the whole thing and bring healing to it, God. Lord, we can come through this season better people. We can come through this season full of faith. God, your name is a strong and mighty tower. Lord, you are our shepherd. Lord, let us be encouraged. Lord, while the whole world is freaking out, let the people of God arise. Let the people of God be people of prayer and people of worship and people of faith and people of strength in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Some of you lost jobs over the last few days. Don't you worry about it. Surrender to the Lord right now. God, your presence is my provision. Who you are is everything I need, God, in Jesus' name. Some of you are worried about people that you can't see right now. God is in the room with those people. I declare, God, encircle my family, encircle my friends, encircle those that are sick, and meet the need, Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, church, we're going to sing. We're going to reach out to the Lord. Put on an ephod. Put on some worship. Put on some praise and get in His presence in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Come on, church. Hallelujah.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.